theyeshiva.net.
Good chodesh, everybody. A good chodesh, a good yar. A freilich chodesh. A chodesh of Nitzachin and a chodesh of Geula. So we'll begin Be'ezer Hashem. I'm excited. Today we begin a new maimer. We finished last week the maimer of Purim Tavshin Tesvav. Reishis Goyim Amalek V'acharisei Adei Oivet. A maimer dedicated to the theme of Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya and Yechida, and the forces inside of us of Amalek, and how we combat Amalek. And actually, that maimer is based on the last maimonim of the Rebbe Rashab that he said, time of Purim, Tofresh Pei, 1920, a few weeks before his Istalkus on Beis Nissen, Tofresh Pei. So today we begin a new maimer. If you see in the headline, Purim Tavshin Tezayin. Actually, 1 year later, Purim 1956, that the Rebbe said at the Fabrengen of Purim. And it begins with a maimer chazal, a very fascinating medrash, that Purim is the one holiday that will not be obliterated after Mashiach comes, as we will see. That's how it begins. I want to thank Rebbe Nechemia Kaplan for the copies, for the beautiful copies, as always. Today's class is dedicated gratefully by Freidel and Shimi Trarig of Montreal in appreciation for all the transformational learning. Thank you very, very much. And it's also dedicated in the merit of Reb Nechemia Ze'ev Ben Chaya Lifsha, whose 50th birthday is today. And he's actually with us today. Mazel Tov. Yovel Shana, Ashnasa Yovel Shana, Larichis Yamim Vashanim Tovus, and may your achievements the next 50 years so be so beautiful that they eclipse even the first 50 years. Huh? He says that will be easy. I like that. Lohavin Maimon Azal. So you have here the source sheets. We posted also on the website, theyeshiva.net, so you could see the source sheets. Lohavin Maimon Azal, to understand the Maimon Chazal. Where is this Maimon Chazal from? As he says in footnote 1, it's in Medrash Mishle, Perek Tes, Parsha Tes, and Yalkut Shemoyni Mishle. It's two Medrashim. One is known as Medrash Mishle, and one is Yalkut Shemoyni, also in Mishle. It's interesting. It's not a Megillah Esther. It's in Mishle. And over there, the Medrash says the following. All the Mayadim, which means all the festivals, all the holidays, in the future, they're going to be nullified. But the days of Purim, in Purim, Shushan Purim, the Medrash says, they're never going to become bottle. They will never be obliterated. What's the source for this? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, in Megillas Esther, which we read on Purim, what does the Pasuk say? V'yemei Purim Eila, Layavru mitoicha Yehudim v'zichram layosef mizara. The days of Purim, they will never pass. They will never be removed. They will never pass from the Jewish people, from the Yehudim. And the memory of Purim will never be eliminated, will never be removed. Layosef is like removed, gathered away, mizaram from their children. So because the Medrash says from this pasuk we see, it says, Layosef Mizaram, it's never going to go away. We may have put him Layavru. There's no limitation of time. So that's why even La'asid Lover, even in the future, when the other holidays are going to be bottled, the Medrash says, put him never. Put him will always remain and retain its relevance and potency and existence. This right away is a big question. What's the question? One of the principles of Torah is one of the Rambam puts it as one of the 13 principles of faith. Say those who say the Ani Maimon say it every day. HaTorah HaZois Loi Tehei Mochlefes. That the Torah is not going to be changed. One of the main reasons that Jews rejected other attempts at deviating from Judaism, right? One of the big things a lot of people don't realize is they discuss secondary things. One of the big things is, as the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, he has a few chapters dedicated to this. Chapter 7, 8, 9, 10. The last chapters of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah are very fundamental in Hashkafa. So the Rambam says there, the Rambam explains that if a Navi comes, a Navi stands up and he could do 1,000,000,000, he could do 100,000,000 miracles. He could split seas and bring plagues and whatever he wants. He's somehow. And he could walk through water, everything. Yeah. Give you the second cheek to slap on, to give him a slap on the second cheek, which is sometimes a bigger miracle than splitting the sea. Whatever he does, and take a big, we're not talking about small stuff, you know, a little thing, a puppet show. We're talking real miracles. And then he says something. He says, God doesn't want you to put on tefillin anymore. Or Shabbos is supposed to be on Monday. Or Pesach should begin, Lag Boimer. A little change. That, right away, you know that he's a Navi Sheker. Right away. Because if he makes one change in halacha, there is an exception. A Navi, what's called Hiras Shah. Another Navi could say that for this time, there's a certain mitzvah that Hashem gave us, or a certain aveda was suspended, like Eliyahu Navi, offered a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash, right? On Mount Carmel, Har HaCarmel, Eliyahu Navi. But that was a Rasha. If Eliyahu Navi would say, there's a new Beis HaMikdash somewhere else, Muncie, we're building a Beis HaMikdash. Or any halacha, even a small little halacha, yeah? That right away disqualifies him as a Navi. Why? Because the basis of all authenticity is Maimed Har Sinai, because everybody saw it. There was nothing as powerful as Maimed Har Sinai. Maimed Har Sinai authenticated the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. The moment, so that's where a Navi is getting his power. Because Moshe said, if he has the criteria of a prophet, which you have to have criteria, a love to Shmo. The moment he's come, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, that HaTorah HaZois, right, HaNistoris L'Hashem HaLakeinu V'HaNigalos L'Nu L'V'Aneinu Ad Oilam, Lazarus is called Tivir HaTorah HaZois, at the end of his life, Moshe said, that the Torah is forever. The moment you're contradicting the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, you just eliminated the entire power of why anyone should listen to you. And this has maintained the integrity of Judaism and Jewish people. I think this halacha really maintained the integrity. Because when the Christian, all great movements that came, the moment there's a deviation of halacha, yeah, it was very clear when at Shapsi Tzvi L'mashal, right? The moment he ate on Tisha B'Av L'mashal. Okay, Tisha B'Av is not for Moshe Rabbeinu. But the moment he started to play with halacha, a lot of people woke up, not everybody. He got up, he said, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Matir Isurim. Matir Isurim, instead of Matir Asurim. He changed the bracha. He could be Matir Isurim, Mashiach Hazir, he could change everything. The moment you do that, you disqualify yourself. I'll call upon them, say, here's a major shayla. So this is a klal in Torah. There's a mitzvah in Torah Pesach, a mitzvah in Torah Shavuos, a mitzvah in Torah Sukkos. What do you mean, kol ha-moed and p'telu? HaTorah hazois loitei mechlefes. This is one of the Yesodos. By the way, there was a great Jewish philosopher, he argued with the Rambam. The Sefer HaIkrim, Rabbi Yosef Olboy, he lived in the 15th century, he argued with the Rambam. He didn't like the fact that the Rambam made 13 principles of faith, he made 3 principles of faith. Rabbi Yosef Olboy. Malchius, Zichronus, and Shofarus. And he said that's why the Chazal instituted that Rosh Hashanah's prayers, Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is Malchus Chayin Shavus. Malchus is that the world has a creator. The world has a creator. There's a Melech. We're not random mistakes. There's purpose, there's meaning, there's creation. There's Zichronus and Shofarus. Shofarus is Matan Torah. Not just the world has a creator. Our creator articulated a plan. And then there's Zichronus. The creator actually remembers and cares about what you do. So those are the 3 principles. He argues with the 13 principles of faith. Yeah. He also says, if Hashem wants to make a new Torah, how do you know he can't make a new Torah? Maybe he'll want to make a new, let's say he'll reveal himself again like Maimed Har Sinai. It's an interesting, but the Rambam disagrees, and most of the poskim can follow the Rambam. A Torah is always loitei mechlefes. Has to have a separate shia, what's the toichen ha-machlokes? But it's just, But that's the Yisrael, the Torah won't be. So here we have a big problem. How can the Medrash say, as they called Plutik, all the Mayadim, it's all gone, besides Purim. And Purim is actually not even from Torah's Moshe Rabbein, right? Purim was added much later. Purim is added after the Churban Bayis Rishon, before the building of Bayis Sheni. So Purim was added around 500 years after Moshe Rabbein, because the Jewish people went into Eretz Yisrael. 440 years later, Shlomo built the first Beis HaMikdash. It stood for 410 years. So it's almost 1,000. I said 400. It's almost 440 and then another 410. So you're talking about 850, 850. And you had 70 years of Golas Bavel, right? So it's more than 900 years from Moshe Rabbeinu till the time of Purim. And yet you say, all the Yomim Tovim from Moshe, it's all going to be bottled. That's what the Rebbe asks. Hine masha amru shekol amayedim asidin li bottle. Afsha atayde hi nitzchir shaloytish tana v'shum mitzvah loytish bottle. Like he says in 3, Re'ei Rambam Hilchis Yisaydi HaTayre Hilchis Malachim Iker HaTes Miyud Gimel Ikrim. It's the 9th principle of the 13 principles in Pirush HaMishnayis LaRambam. How do you do HaPirush HaZeh? So one of the answers, one of the explanations in this, and this comes from, as he says, Torah Er Megillah Sester. So the Baal HaTanya explains it, the Alter Rebbe explains this. So the Pshat is different. Shemitzad Reiv HaTayv HaSimcha Shiyel Asid Lovay Tiyah HaTayv HaSimcha Shalamayadim Mayadim LaSimcha Kama Shekazu B'Samachta B'Chagecha B'Pchinez Shrage B'Tiyah Ramayahana Mashenkin Simchas Purim Kivin Shih Simcha Delev Yezit Tiyah Chashuva Gam LaSid Lovay. The Rebbe explains like this. The Gemara says in Meseches Chulin Daf Samach, when the moon came to complain about her status, that she and the sun both are the same size, you can't have two kings wearing the same crown. So Hashem told the moon, go diminish yourself. So the moon started to complain, just because I'm sensitive, right? Just because I'm a sensitive guy and I'm protesting the problem and I'm sensitive to it, that's why I should diminish myself, right? And the bully is going to get away with it, the big guy. So Hashem starts telling the moon all the great things that the moon is going to have. One of the things is the Jews are going to have their calendar based on you, and Yaakov and David will be called Katan, and you're going to have all these stars that show up at night, and you're going to rule by day and by night. Sometimes you could see the sun, by the moon by day. So when he says you're going to rule by day, he said, Shrage b'tir amane. If you light a candle in the midday, you know, light a candle, 12 o'clock, a beautiful day, the sun is shining over your head, light a candle. Shraga, a candle, b'tiara, in the day, in the light of day, tiara is light, the light of day, mayahani, what benefit is there? It's worthless. So it's not that the candle is not burning. It's not that somebody extinguished the candle. It just means in the presence of such luminescence, of such brightness, the candle doesn't occupy significant space. Let's put it this way. It's not making a significant contribution or even a insignificant contribution. This behooves me to tell the Chelem joke, right? I've probably shared it in the past. I'm sure I did. There was a debate in Chelem. What's more important, the sun or the moon? As usual, the debates were heated and they went on for 7 days and 7 nights. And what happened? On the 7 days, 7 nights, the greatest Chacham of Chelem said he has an answer. And the answer is that the moon is much more important and prestigious than the sun. Why? Because the sun shines when you don't need it. It's daytime. Who needs light during daytime? The moon makes a contribution. It's pitch dark outside, and the moon casts some light. So this was the conclusion of Chelem. So that's the classical case, right? Shraga b'tiara. So the origin of it is, Shraga b'tiara, my honey, who needs the candle during the daytime? In Chelem, they confuse the candle with the sun. They did. But who needs the candle, b'tiara, shraga b'tiara? In other words, some things in life, it's not that there's no light. If it's pitch dark, the candle saves the day. I should say saves the night. Right? You're in a blackout. You have nothing. The candle is everything. Right? That's the takana of Shabbos. Neir Shabbos. The Chachamim didn't want Jews should sit in the darkness by Suda Shabbos. We don't appreciate so much the mitzvah of Shabbos candles. Because, you have Thomas Edison to thank for that. But I remember I was once in the country for Shabbos in the Catskills, and there was a blackout right before Shabbos. Like after Shkia, there was a blackout. But it was a blackout in the Catskills. Not today's Catskills. It was a blackout in the Catskills. It's not like the old Muncie, you know, when there was still some farms around there. A blackout was a blackout. It was pitch dark. And we sat down for the Shabbos. I came home from Maitiv, and we sat down for the Shabbos table. And, of course, my wife's candles were burning, so it was an opportunity. You know, I told my children, finally we'll understand what the Chachamim actually had in mind. I imagine there were no candles here. We'll be sitting here in a miserable, miserable meal. So the fact that this candles saves the night. That was the whole takana of Shabbos, Shalom Bayis. The Gemara says in Shabbos, and the Rambam Paskins Lalacha, that on Chanukah, if you only have a candle of Shabbos or a candle of Chanukah, because you only have money for one candle, so you have to buy Shabbos candles. Why? Because Shabbos candles is for Shalom Bayis. And Shalom Bayis is even more important than Pirsumei Nissa, than celebrating Chanukah. It's a very powerful halacha, right? In other words, Hanukkah represents the military victory of the Jewish people. Shalom Bayis represents that the house is peaceful. What do you think is more important? So the Chazal say Shalom Bayis is more important. Because the real victory on the battlefield is only significant if the domestic electromagnetic field is as peaceful. Okay, how did I get into Neir Shabbos? I should forget. Oh, that's because it's burning at night. It's burning at night. But Shragi B'tiara, middle of the day, not that it's not there. At another time, it would be amazing. It would be the source of joy and light and festivity. Simchas Beis HaSheva, they had menorahs, candles. It illuminated Yerushalayim. But B'tiara not. So the Alter Rebbe says, that's a pshat in the Medrash. That mitzah, the simcha, the goodness and the bliss and the joy that's going to be after Mashiach's coming. So the joy and the bliss of the holidays, which are all joyous, mayadim l'simcha, which says v'samachta b'chagecha, it's going to be like a candle burning during midday. That's the vart. Not that the mitzvah is going to be bottled. We're not mevatel mitzvah, chas v'shalom. Torah says letiyah mechlefes. But the bliss, the luminescence, imagine you have a candle in galus, till Mashiach comes, the candle is gevaldik. Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, it fills the Jewish soul with joy. It fills the Jewish home with gaiety, with that's a word that's not used a lot anymore. You know that word? But it's actually pure English, forgive me.
Yes.
It fills the Jewish soul with a sense of lachluchius, of moist, of promise, and of celebration. That very same experience, when the sun comes out, it's still there. But it doesn't have that intense impact. Mashenkin simchas Purim. This is the chiddush of Purim. That kiv and she simcha gdoila b'yosati chashuva gam la'asid lover. The power and the potency and the joy of simcha is so intense that even when the sun comes out, it's not going to lose its radiance. It's not going to lose its pristine glory. So not that Purim is the only holiday that we will celebrate, it's the holiday that its potency, its relevance will be recognizable even in the messianic state of Geula in the time of Mashiach. Amnam, al pi tam zeh shebit lamed im kashaga b'tiru mitzad reva teva vasim chedil asid lavoi. If this is taka de pshat, that it's relative to the great festivity and joy of Mashiach, and that's the pshat that the mayadim, the holidays, will be nullified like the candle. In midday, b'tiara, tzarech lahavin mashenema b'medrashah. If this is takadi yisoid, then we need to understand what the medrash continues. The medrash continues, shalachad man da amar. There's one opinion in Chazal, af yom ha-kippurim lo yibatul loylam. Shenema v'hoysa zois lechem l'chukas oylam. It says in Parshas Achrei Moshe about Yom Kippur, that this day should be chukas oylam, an eternal law, an eternal statue, an eternal chukah. Chukah is like something engraved in the law of the people. So because it says, Bayem kibunim lechukas oilam, so there's an opinion there that Purim is not the only holiday won't be bottled. Yom Kippur too. The lechayda, but according to this, there's a question. Kivan shinyan shalem kippurim hua chamishi nuyim. V'ulegamri loy besuga mayadim akshurim em simcha v'tev. Hari b'chadchila enyem ha-kippurim b'chlal kol ha-mayadim asidin li-batel. She yitzerich lishlel v'loy ma shaloy y-batel oylem k'may purim. The whole, the Yom Kippur is of a different genre. Yom Kippur is a mitzvah to have five afflictions. It's called chamish einuyim. Right, like the Mishnah says in Yom Kippur, asur b'achiler, siyer, rechitza, sicha, ne'ilas ha-sandal and tashmash ha-mita. Yom Kippur is forbidden to eat and to drink. Rechitza is bathing, and sicha is anointing yourself with oil, and putting on the shoes, and tashmish hamita, relations. So it's a day, it's called chamisha inoyim, the five afflictions of Yom Kippur. The Mishnah is at the end of Yom, the eighth chapter. So it's not even in this, you don't say on Yom Kippur, mayadim l'simcha, v'samachta b'chagecha. The basic staple of simcha, of eating and drinking, is not the Yom Kippur. It's a whole different avodah, v'inisim es nafshei seich. So it's l'chadchila not in the category, in the genre, in the umbrella of holidays that are connected to simcha, to this flow of festivity and joy. So l'chayra l'chatchila Yom Kippur is not among the mayadim that should be bottle. It's a whole different type of Yom Tov. So why do you have to negate it and said lo yibatel loylam? It doesn't say over there that Shabbos, the tefillin won't be bottle, other mitzvahs won't be bottle. Why should it be bottle by Mashiach? If this is the explanation, that it's mitzvah de simcha, the simcha of Mashiach is going to be so powerful that it's going to eclipse the simcha of Yom Tov, the joy of Yom Tov, and Purim not, I get it, fine. So then how did Yom Kippur come into the whole, challenge with a machloikas? And one opinion says not. If Yom Kippur was a day of simcha, like a regular Yom Tov, that was its focus, then I understand. Then I understand. Is it like Purim or is it like the other one? So there's a machloikas. But it's like a chila whole other inyan. The fact that it's brought in here seems that there seems to be something else more than simcha. It's about the holidays, that the holidays essentially are going to be bottled. Ve'ein loyma sheza gufa bol hashmeinu. Maybe this is what he's trying to say. She'inyan bitul amoyadim shasimcha shabamtiya kishraga betiyana ena shaykh le'ema kapurim. Lefishen yinyan asimcha. Maybe that's taka devart. The guy is saying, yeah, remember, all the holidays are going to be bottled besides Purim. And remember, not Yom Kippur. Because we're not talking here about the holidays that are not connected to joy. The holidays that are connected to joy, those holidays are going to be bottled, meaning, because they're going to be like a candle in the daylight, except Purim. But take Yom Kippur, don't throw Yom Kippur into that mix, because Yom Kippur has a different function. It was never about Simcha, so it's not going to be eclipsed by Mashiach Simcha. If it's about Simcha, so now you're going to compare this Chasana to this Chasana. So you say, this Chasana was fine, but this is a Psachasana. As they say, there's a Chasana, it's a Gedenken. Right? But you know, it's not a Chasana, it's a Chasana. This is a Pidyon HaBen, and it's a Chasana. What was willst du? That's his kasha. Very geschmack. In other words, maybe that's what the Medrash is saying. You're asking, how does Yom Kippur come in here? That's what he's saying. Yom Kippur doesn't come in here. And that's why it's not going to get bottled, because it's not about Simcha. So you're asking a question. Maybe that's what the Medrash is saying. But you can say, Kimul Vadze, Shalpi Zer Yitzarech Leshmein Agam Ben Negele Rosh Hashanah, Shalai Yiyah Bottle for Shein Yinyin HaSimcha, Shalai LaSimchanit. First of all, then, he should have put in Rosh Hashanah also. Rosh Hashanah is also a holiday in Torah. We have Pesach, we have Shavuos, we have Sukkot, we have Yom Kippur. What about Rosh Hashanah? Add that too. Say Rosh Hashanah was not given as a day of Simcha. That's not the function of Rosh Hashanah. Even though we eat on Rosh Hashanah, we drink on Rosh Hashanah, it's called a Yom Tov. But it says on Rosh Hashanah, Loi LaSimcha Nitin. It wasn't given for Simcha. Chazal says, brings in the footnotes in 9. So you should add that too. Rosh Hashanah also won't be bottled. You know why? Because it's not a candle in the sun. It's not competing with joy. It's a different level. Another question. If this is the Vart, if this is the Chiddush, the reason why Yom Kippur won't be bottle, because it's not about Simcha, so it's not in, I'm using the word competing, I don't mean it literally, but it's not competing with Mashiach Simcha, right? Because it's not the union of Simcha. Pesach is competing. Shavuos is competing. They're all days of joy. So you're saying relative to the joy of Mashiach, it's going to be like a candle. But Yom Kippur is not that union. If that's the Vart, and therefore, why shouldn't it be when Mashiach comes? Why should it be extinguished? We're not stopping davening when Mashiach comes. We're not stopping tzitzis. We're not stopping tefillin. We're not stopping mezuzah. They have their function, whatever it is. Just because the Simcha is going to be gewaldig, fine, so you'll put on tefillin with more Simcha. Why does he bring this pasuk chukas oilam? That's not. It sounds like if not for chukas oilam, right? Yom Kippur would have been obliterated, would have been nullified. But now we're saying no. Yom Kippur is like any other mitzvah holiday. Why should it be nullified? We don't say no mitzvah is nullified. All the Torah is going to be eternal. The fact that he brings a raya means he has to have a proof, because essentially Yom Kippur should be nullified. Elamai says lechukas oilam. So besides one question, why don't you bring in Rosh Hashanah? The fact that he has to prove it from a pasuk already means he's putting Yom Kippur into a different category. If not l'chukas oilam, you would have said that Yom Kippur might have been nullified. For Yisaidim is a, there's an amachloikas about Yom Kippur. Shanei mashmo is divrei aman damer adishinu shenakim ha'apunim einim p'telen. Avol yeh makipurim yibotl. V'kivun shem makipurim einin asimcha. In the Medrash, there's two opinions. By Purim, there's no machlekas. Everybody says Purim is going to stay. By Yom Kippur, it sounds like according to the first opinion, it's only Purim. And then there's a second opinion, also Yom Kippur. According to this, it doesn't make sense. If Yom Kippur is not competing with the joy of Mashiach, it's its own mitzvah. So besides the question, you should have said Rosh Hashanah. Besides the question, you don't need the pasuk chukas oilam. There's a third question. Why is there then our argument? Are they arguing about all the mitzvahs if they're going to be nullified? Are they arguing if Shofar is going to be nullified? No. So suddenly here, if you tell me Yom Kippur is about Simcha, so it's competing with Mashiach. So now the question is it like Purim? Is it not like Purim? But now you're telling me it's Bichlal not in that category. So something here is difficult to understand. Yeah. V'kivan sheyem ha-kippurim ein inyan ha-simcha, harei muchach she'ikir ha-tam de-bit la-mayadim einem mitzad ribuy ha-teva va-simcha d'lasa dovish l'gabe zeti ha-simcha sa-mayadim g'shraga b'tira. Since Yom Kippur is not taken not an inyan of simcha, and that's why there was no hava mina, that it should be bottle, and that's why you don't need chukas olam, and that's why there wouldn't be a machlokes, and that's why he doesn't say the Shoshana. So now you have to say that the main idea of the moyadim, of the holidays becoming nullified, it's not because there'll be so much bliss and joy that they're going to be eclipsed. Because if that's the case, Yom Kippur B'chlal would not fall into this whole issue as discussed. Al Korchach Tzarech Lemus, you have to say, Shabitul Amoedim Kishraga B'tiyadah Hu Mitzad Hagili Yalikus Sheyi Lassid Lover. The reason that we say that the holidays are going to be like a candle burning in the light, it's because of the godly revelation when Mashiach comes. Shezeu Gam Sibbes HaTeva V'Asimcha D'Lassid Lover. And that's taka the reason for the joy and the bliss of Lassid Lover, because of the Gili Yalikus. It's at the revelation of a lakus, this is what's going to be explained. Here, the question is Yom Kippur or not.
So it's not going to be nullified, it's going to be eclipsed.
Yeah, eclipsed, not nullified. But what is it going to be eclipsed? Not just, it's going to be so lebedic, so simchadic. So the other holidays, the simcha is not going to, is going to be eclipsed, as you said. But there's an akudah here, there's a gilui lakus. The source of the joy is the divine revelation. That's, that doesn't exclude Yom Kippur. Fakert. Gili Alakos is connected to Yom Kippur. For Inyanu, the explanation in this is, Dine Kola, Yonam Shebegashmi, is Nishtal Shalom, Yonam Shebiruchnis. The big principle, always, in Kabbalah and Chassidus is, that everything in the material world is Nishtal Shalom. Nishtal Shalom means, it evolves, it develops, from a higher spiritual state. In other words, every reality that exists in our tangible world exists also on a deeper level, but it's less tangible. It's less concrete. And that's what Nishtal Shalom means. Nishtal Shalom, the word shalsheles, right? There's a chain of evolution or devolution, to be more accurate, from the more sublime to the more concrete, from the transcendent to the material, from where a consciousness is pure consciousness to where consciousness assumes concretized reality to the point that we don't even see consciousness, to something we call doimim, which means dead, lifeless, quiet. Vayidoim, it's quiet. The whole non-mineral, inorganic part of our planet is called in philosophy doimim. In ancient philosophy, doimim, that means the quiet, the dead, the lifeless. It's not lifeless at all, but meaning from the perception of the eye that is not microscopic, it seems daimim. So that's all behishtalshalus, the way energy descends until it's concretized. So there's nothing in the gashmi that doesn't begin in the ruchni. There's no such a thing. That is its existence. In other words, it's not like you need a raya for this. The definition of the gashmi is a manifestation of the ruchni in the gashmi. It's the embodiment of a spiritual metaphysical energy. The godly particle exists in everything and constitutes the ultimate chemistry. So when we say that when Mashiach comes, it's going to be a good world. The sugyas and Gemara and the Midrashim about the bliss of Mashiach's coming. The end of Ksuvus is a whole arichas, how much goodness and joy there's going to be pashut physically, even greater than by the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, when it says that the Jewish people under Shlaima Melech, everyone lived, each man under his vineyard and under his fig tree, which represented ultimate serenity. Ishtachas Gafnai, Ishtachas Teinosa, you had your fig tree, I had my fig tree, I had my hammock, you had your hammock, you had your vine, and if in the middle of the day you got hungry, you just stretched out your hand and you picked the fig and you made a bracha b'yre priya eitz and you ate it. So even greater than the ishtachas gafni v'ishtachas teinasai, there's going to be much more. It's not stam. The economy will be amazing and the tuition prices will go down and the bank says, I'm going to cover your mortgage, I'm good. The vart is, It begins with consciousness. That's the Yisayin. In other words, Beruchnius, it's going to be a different world. It begins with spiritual bliss, spiritual joy. That's why the Baal Shem Tov says in a few places, Ein Golus Ela Bedas V'Ein Geula Ela Bedas. Golus and Geula don't begin with physical circumstances. They begin with Das. It's a state of consciousness. What world I'm living in. We know a person could live physically in physical bliss, but internally miserable. I'm not going to say always, but sometimes, yeah, it's completely not a raya. You look at a person's harchava, it's completely not proof that internally the quality of their life is better. Sometimes it could be exact opposite. I'm not romanticizing poverty. I'm not doing that at all. Chas v'shalom, everybody should have ashiras ad bli gvul. What? Yeah, no, we're not romanticizing about that at all. But the point is that the external goodness, right? You could, Baruch Hashem, some people in Muncie have very large houses. You go into a large house, there's bedrooms galore, there's bathrooms galore, everyone has their own room. But there's a wall between people. And the wall between people I can't eliminate by adding another 6 bedrooms with an indoor pool, with an outdoor pool, with a jacuzzi, with a solar system, and with a tennis field. I mean, it's nice and it's geschmack and it's beautiful. But the internal misery that pervades the spiritual energy in the house, that ultimately makes it a place you want to be in or you don't want to be in. And sometimes you can have a small house. In terms of Gashmi, it's small, but there's a love, there's trust, and there's nothing that can substitute that. Like Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, right, it's better to eat vegetables, simple vegetables with somebody you love than to eat fattened meat with your enemy. You know, I could be sit at a meal. It's the best delicious food. Every portion here is $600. The steak itself is $600 before the wine. Right? But there's no chemistry. It's like nebach. And then you could sit, I don't know, was eating some kale and spinach, which is anyway better. But you love being with the person. You love being with the person. It's a different gashmi. The gashmis is different. So that's what he says. When you talk about the toiva and simcha of Mashiach, it's essentially a state of consciousness. It's a state of ruchnis. The gashmi is just a manifestation. It's an embodiment of the ruchni. There's going to be a gili alakus, a revelation of divine truth, of divine consciousness in a way that is going to be beyond, way and beyond. You can't compare it to the revelation that's not only now, but even in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, even in the first Beis HaMikdash, which was considered in spiritual gradation beyond the second. So when we say that the Mayadim are going to be bottle, it means that even though the time of the Beis HaMikdash they were so potent, it's not that they're going to be nullified. They're going to be eclipsed in the divine consciousness that's going to be revealed. So there's a certain Gilui Alakus that happens Pesach Shavuos Sukkos. There's a certain, if my antennas are open, there's an energy that changes Pesach Shavuos Sukkos. There's a Gilui Alakus. And because of that, it's Mayadim L'Simcha. The joy of a holiday is not we eat a lot of meat and we drink a lot of wine and let's be happy. That doesn't create Simcha. Simcha in Gashmis only happens if it's Mishtalshel from Ruchni. If my eating is the source of simcha, we all know this. If my eating is the source of simcha, it's called addiction. I may not be an addict, I may be a binger, but it's the same nekuda. Any source of simcha that's not a hishtalshelus from ruchni is going to be short-lived, skin deep, and a very fast disappointment. It's like in a relationship, in a marriage, a relationship. The relationship is only physical. No one says it doesn't have power. It has a lot of power, but it's going to be short-lived. It's going to be short-lived because it's not souls coming together. It's only bodies coming together. And the body without the soul ultimately is a vessel, but it's empty. And there's going to be a sense of disappointment, of deep. Sometimes people have that. Sometimes, unfortunately, you have in the two people, right? One doesn't realize that the entire connection is a physical connection. It's one of the sad mistakes of many women. You have that in the larger society very frequently. There's a connection. Somebody is very excited about the other person. They think the excitement is a very deep, spiritual, profound excitement. The excitement is really a physical experience. And when the physical experience is over, it's have a wonderful day. Baruch Shepetanat. But last night, Biskav Amishiga. You were Meshuga over me. Last night, Avada. I was Meshuga. My goof was Meshuga. So every Indian in life, yeah, if the goof is not a Mishtalshalus from the Ruchni, you're detaching Mayim Aliyonim from Mayim Tachtonim, the lower water from the higher water, the Gashmi from the Ruchni. You're cutting off Mishtalshalus. You're cutting off Mishtalshalus. There's no flow. I'm not in the flow. So when you speak about the Simcha of Yom Tov will never be because we're going to have much more food and dessert. It's nice to have food and dessert and the kids get excited. But a person has to know, joy only comes from Gilui Elokus. What does it mean, Gilui Elokus? Gilui Elokus means I tune into a place of deeper serenity in myself. My own infinity. It's much harder than eating steak. Eating steak, if I have money, I'll buy another steak, I'll buy another steak, I'll buy another steak. So it's good. It's good for the first 10 minutes. Wow, this table is an amazing table. But the simcha of Ma'adam L'simcha is a shtalshalus from Ruchnes. The Gilui Elokus by Mashiach is going to be so powerful that it's going to eclipse the revelation of Elokus of Yom Tov. And that's the vart of Shraga B'tiya Ramaya Hani L'gabi Yom Tov. This means that Purim captures such an intense revelation of divine consciousness that even in the revelation of a lakus of Mashiach, Purim is going to hold its own, so to speak. It's comparable. It's not becoming a candle that's eclipsed. There's something you touch Purim that in the presence of complete geula, awareness and consciousness, Purim is already tuned into that. Now we'll understand. For Purim, everyone agrees. The Medrash, there's no argument. Yom Kippur, the Medrash brings two opinions. Either Yom Kippur will also be nullified, it'll also be eclipsed or not. One view is that Yom Kippur, like the other holidays, is going to be like a candle in the presence of sunlight. There's a view, Shagam Agili Yom Kippur, who Gilui Naila Biyasi Shashach Shiv is Gam Lagabi Agili De Lasid Lav. The second view is that even the revelation of Yom Kippur is going to be so profound, it is so profound, that it retains its intensity and relevance even when Mashiach comes. This is consistent with what it says in Tikkuni Zohar. Tikkuni Zohar is a section of the Zohar that explains the word Bereishis. It gives 70 interpretations to the word Bereishis. Bereishis has 70 different ways you could write out, you could say the word. Right? There's Bereishis, there's Bara Shis. He created the world through sticks. Just an example. So in Tikkun Zohar, he says there, Tikkun Chafalaf. And it's brought in Chassidus in many places. Sheyoyim HaKippurim Pirushay Gam Kippurim. Yoyim HaKippurim is the day that is like Purim. Hainu Kamay Purim B'chaf HaDimyin. The Zohar says that Purim is Nikra Al-Shem Yoyim HaKippurim. Purim is a strange name because Purim means a lot. A goyrel, right? Like it says in the Megillah. Why did you name the whole holiday based on a lot that Haman threw? Doesn't seem to capture the story. So the Zohar says, its real name is Al-Shem Yom HaKippurim. Yom Kippur is a main name in Chumash. Yom HaKippurim. The day of Kippurim, of Kapara, of forgiveness, of atonement. So Purim was named after Yom Kippur. But the Rebbe's Medayik here, so really the Alter Rebbe's Dig, really if you look at it, it goes deeper. Yom HaKippurim actually sounds like what? Which is the source and what's compared to what? Purim is the noun, Purim, and Yom Ha Kippurim, or Yom Kippurim, which means Yom Kippurim, a day that is like Purim. So basically, Yom Kippur is the runner-up. Purim is at the front, and then this is like Purim, which is very strange, because Purim comes, is Minatayra. Yom Kippurim is Minatayra. Purim is not Minatayra. Purim was added by the Nevi'im. The time of Mordechai and Esther, the end of the Nevi'im actually. At Mordechai, you had the Sanhedrin then, Chagai, Mishchai, Mishan. The Gemara even says in Megillah, they weren't very enthusiastic about the holiday of Purim. The Gemara says in Megillah they didn't want to write a Megillah, they didn't want a holiday. You know what they said? They told Esther that you're creating anti-Semitism. The Gemara says, Sina atam lano benom. You're writing a sefer, vos vilstu. Let's sha. We won, they died, we won, let's go eat. Let's not make a Megillah. So what did Esther answer? Kvar ksuvani besifre malche madei oparas. The story is already written by them. They know the story. It's written already in the chronicles of the Persian monarchy. What was Esther telling the Jewish people? She was telling the Sanhedrin. The Goyim know everything. The Rebbe once said this over the Fabreng and put him Tom Shekhar Faisen. The Goyim wissen alts. Schreib de Megillah, sollen chatsch Jiden wissen. The Goyim wissen alts. Sollen chatsch Jiden wissen. Let at least Jews know. The Goyim wissen schein. They don't have our Yetzirah. They're not stupid. They know everything. Sollen chatsch de Jiden wissen. Heißt der Teitsch. So it wasn't so posh to add Purim. Esther fought, Kosvuni Ladoiris, Kavuni Ladoiris, she fought with everybody. They said, you want to make a new Judaism? Esther was, as they say, she stood her ground. They said, you can't add, we're not adding a new part of Tanakh, you can't just do these things. It's just a Hefgewelt, we're not reformers, we don't change Judaism when we want to change it because we want a new holiday. You know, then we'll also add Thanksgiving and then New Year's, I mean, what else do you want, Halloween? And they brought Psukim, and Esther really stood her ground. And Lepoyel, Purim becomes the greatest Yom Tov, greater than Yom Kippur, to the point that we're calling Yom Kippur Kippurim. But here you already see from the Zohar, the Zvart, that Yom HaKippurim, Yom Kippur is like Purim. But Mele v'lechen yashdeir shal yoysir ak Kippurim b'chof ha-dimyin, v'loi Purim mamash l'chen yibatel osed lover. V'yashdeir shakivin shayim ha-Kippurim yashli dimyin l'purim, l'chen gam yom ha-Kippurim l'yivatel o'elam. So now we can understand better the two opinions. Since it's Kippurim, but it's not Purim. So it's like, the cup is half full or half empty. You know, you're like your brother, but you're not your brother. What they tell you in yeshiva? You're like your father, but you're not your father. So Yom HaKippurim, on one hand you're saying you're Purim, but you're not Purim. You're like Purim. So that's why you right away have two opinions. From the name Kippurim, you have two opinions. One opinion is, it's Kippurim. So it's just like Purim. So the Gilui HaLikus of Purim will be so intense. Yom Kippur too. Another shit is, no, it's Kippurim. But obviously it's not Purim. So Mele Yom Kippur will be bottled. V'yash lahoysev shematzinu gam b'nigla de teira she'yash inyanim she'purim v'yayim ha'kippurim she'yachim zelaza. Ela she'purim olamayim yayim ha'kippurim. L'chayre, this is all an inyan in Zohar. But the Rebbe says, always used to say that everything in Kabbalah and Chassidus you could see in nigla also. Because it's a shtalshalus. I remember, everything is one. So if it's in one level, it's going to be on another level. So this nekuda, that is a mile of Purim of Yom Kippur, that first of all, that they're connected, and Purim is even higher, you see even in Nigla, even in Alach, where the Hine, Issa B'Yuma, the Gemara says in Yuma, Shloisha Chaluki Kapara. Reb Masi ben Charash says there's three different ways of receiving atonement for different transgressions. And he goes through if you do over a mitzvah's essay, if you over a mitzvah's loisese, if you're over on serious, more heinous sins, he goes through the list. What do you have to do? Mitzvah's essay, you right away do tshuva. Mitzvah's leisa, so you have to wait for Yom Kippur. Then there's serious avoinus of kadosh, where the person needs refinement. You sudim and mark. And then he says, Avo misha yesh chilul Hashem biyadei, ein kayach b'tshuva litla is v'lei b'yam ha-kippurim l'chapara l'kulon toilin o'misim ha-marekas. V'haydu shebiyam chilul Hashem gam Yom Kippur ak toilin v'lei m'chapar. He says, but there's a chilul Hashem. Somebody publicly is Mechal Hashem Shamayim, desecrates all the truth of Hashem in the world. So tshuva doesn't have a power on its own. Yom Kippur doesn't even have a power on its own. The ultimate refinement comes after the soul leaves the world. That's the ultimate refinement. Because there's such a profound negative impact that was created. In other words, Chilul Hashem, even Yom Kippur, is still toila. Toila means it's still suspended, it's still in limbo. There's still needed a greater process. Sometimes a person can go through a tremendous journey of transformation, but still, to clinch it, you need something else. So you see that Yom Kippur has limits. Not many, but when it comes to Chilul Hashem, the Gemara says it has limits. So this is Mashenkin Bepurim. When you look at Purim, afal pishachet hayishenenu misudasi shalay sudasha, shazel winyan chilul Hashem kivin shaya befahesia, val derech zachet shenishtach v'litzelim, shenoysif alinyan davidazara is hayazah gaminyan shechilul Hashem kivin shaya befahesia, mekoma kain paul inyan di Purim, yoysim yemaki Purim, shenishchapel legamri inyan di chilul Hashem. You see, Purim, a power yim kippet it in half. The whole gzeda of Purim, Chazal say, Maseches Megillah is, they enjoyed the feast of that Rasha. And it wasn't just non-kosher food. It was perhaps that, but he used the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. It was a celebration of Churban Beis HaMikdash. It was a celebration that the Jewish story is over, and there's a new story, and if you are dedicated to our vision, you will succeed. You even be invited to Achashverosh's party, and he's going to take a photo app with you. It was the death of Gaon Yaakov, of Yiddish Shtoltz. That's what it was. Nenu misudasa shalei sedasha. Chazal, the Mefarshim HaZohar should have said, achlu misudasa. The problem is eating, they ate treif. So the Rebbe once said, no, it's not they ate. Maybe it's pikuach nefesh, the Chashverish invites you. Nenu misudasa shalei sedasha. Mele you're eating, vas is the Hanah. This became the Hanah. We finally made it. Achashverish agreed to take a selfie with me, and it's going to be on the front page of the New York Times. Can a Jew reach greater prominence? Can a Jew reach greater significance? Nenu misedasa shalai sedasha. That was the churban. That's the chilul Hashem. And then there's a second opinion that they bow down to the tzelem. So you have avodah zarah with chilul Hashem. And it was all public. And what happened? Purim completely eliminated, completely atoned it. So you see in nigla that Purim has something Yom Kippur doesn't have. Sometimes you can atone for a sin. The Gemara says, "Dainus nasu kishgagas." Deliberate sins become like mistakes. But then sometimes the Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, that's doinus, tshuva out of love, is doinus nasa like his zachis. This doinus themselves become mitzvahs. That's a chiddush. It's not just the sin, okay, you were in a bad mood, you didn't take your vitamins that day, you didn't have enough sleep, you were shikha, you got intoxicated, you got overwhelmed. A lot of anti-Semitism. Achashverosh invites you to a party, you got drunk and you lost it. Go fine. Skishgogas. You realize your mistake. That's not the void. Zdoinis nasalik ezachias means the sin is a mitzvah. The sin becomes your greatest moment. Well, relax. That's already a different level of tshuva. There's already a chiddush in the first way. Eliminating the sin. Zdoinis nasalik ezachias is already a gewaldige chiddush. But he says here the uftu is that it's nasuk ezachias. Not only that there's no imprint from the chait. There's no roshim. There's no roshim is a residue. There's no roshim. Not even a chet b'shoigeh. In other words, completely. In other words, there's doinus nasalei kishgagas, that's one level. It's a mistake. You slammed your door on my finger, it's still painful. But it was a mistake, I can forgive you. Then there is complete forgiveness. It's not even called a chet b'shege. Then there is a third level. It's a mitzvah. Nishapach l'zachis, doinus nasalei kishgagas. It's not just that like it never happened. That itself is not bad. It never happened. No, it happened, and it's a good thing that it happened, because it's a mitzvah. That's why Purim is called v'napechu. It's a transformation. Transformation doesn't only mean there was a bad decree and it was nullified. That's not transformation. Transformation means something is actually transformed into something else. Transformation is not obliteration. What happened on Purim was there was a gzeirah. Haman was a Hitler, and instead of killing the Jews, he was killed. So the gzeirah was nullified. That's what happened. Something deeper happened. V'napechu means that the theme of Purim is that the very negative energy was transformed. In other words, Haman planned his own defeat because whatever he was trying to do just came back to him. So every step of the way, whatever he tried to do, right? Ashehechin loy, it says that he prepared the eights for Mardechai. Ashehechin loy, it says loy la Haman. He prepared it for himself. The Gemara has an expression, the mouth that prohibits is the mouth that permits. In La Halacha, if the whole source of prohibiting you came from your mouth, so then I have to trust your mouth consistently. So if you tell me, this and this happened, but this and this happened, HaPesha says, HaPesha hit. The same man who created the gzeda, created the suda, created the problems, he's the same man who was transformed. What's that? Why is that so negeya in Purim? That everything was transformed. The day that the Jewish people were supposed to be, Haman HaRasha chose the month of Adar as the month of destruction. That month became the month of salvation. The day that was designated to obliterate the Jewish people was the day that the enemy was obliterated. Mordechai was supposed to be executed instead of Haman. Mordechai was supposed to be executed. Haman took his place. Every nekuda was v'napichu. Haman planned to get the horse and go on a ride in Shushan, and everything he planned, what happened? He planned it for Mordechai. He thought he's planning it for himself. He planned it for Mordechai. The tree, the gallows, he thought he was planning for Mordechai. He planned it for himself. In other words, every nekuda came back v'napichu. And like the Gemara says about Adar, he thought it's the month that Moshe died. It's the month that Moshe was born. So he took Yud Gimel Adar because it's going to be a great day for destruction. That became the great day for Solomon. Yeah. V'napich, yeah. So he says here a very powerful word. The reason this happened is because spiritually it happened. Because what happens on Purim is not the elimination of the sin, it's the transformation of sin. B'meila, politically there was also a transformation. Militarily there was also a transformation. The V'napichu began in the Avodah of Tshuva, and here you see the Meila of Purim even over Yom Kippur b'negei Chilul Hashem. So even in Nigla this comes out, that they're both connected to Tshuva, and yet Purim has something Yom Kippur doesn't have. Even in halacha. And that's explains the one of the main mitzvahs. There's four mitzvahs on Purim. And the big one of the mitzvahs is Sudas Purim, Mishta v'Simcha, to have a feast and to celebrate Purim. Why did Chazal make that mitzvah, Mishta v'Simcha? So the Pashtus is because Esther caused the downfall of Haman in the middle of a Mishta, middle of a party. She made a party. There's a verse from the Sfasemes, he says, it's also I think in other Sfarim, he says that really it's the Mishta v'Achashverosh that you're celebrating. It's the Mishta v'Achashverosh. The Megillah begins, the whole first chapter of the Megillah begins with a story that doesn't seem relevant. Achashverosh threw a party for 187 days. Talk about a feast. 187 days the man was partying. Huh? Fantastic. More than a half a year. You wonder if anybody had a job.
I think the whole Nikuda is because of that Chilul Hashem that they did by this Mishta. Without the establishing of Purim, there would not be a tikkun to do the Shalach Monas.
Exactly, yeah.
So, look, if it would not be a tikkun to do Purim, that it would not be a Lechakov.
Exactly. So, Asama says, I made it the Kavart. When did the big miracle of Purim happen? When did the real miracle happen? It's because it all happened because of Esther. How did Esther come into the palace? Because Vashti was executed. Why was Vashti executed? Vashti was executed because of that party when her husband was drunk and he wanted she should show up the way he wanted her to show up, and she refused and she rebelled against him. So he had her killed. So then he got into a depression. He needs a new wife. And that's when ultimately he chose Esther. Remember, Purim didn't happen within a half an hour like we think. Purim, right, it took more than a decade. It took around 12 years. So it's a long story. You know, we have to Megillah puts it all together, but it didn't take 30 minutes. It's a long, long story. So in that original party, when Vashti was executed, that laid the foundation for a tremendous miracle. What happened at that party? Nenu misudase shalai serasha. As he says, Zechilul Hashem. So when was Hashem making the miracle for the Jewish people? The miracle for the Jewish people, that after 187 days, the Meshugan Tzedreta behaved. 187 days he was drunk, but he behaved. The last day, by Yom HaShvi, day 187, he got so smashed, because every day he had to drink a little more. When you have addiction, every day was a little more. So day 187, he got so inebriated, to the point to denigrate his wife and have her killed. Right? So 186 days, the Melech Tipish was fine. Day 187, he lost his marbles and he killed his wife and he goes into a depression. And that was what laid the foundation for the Nes Purim. And when did it happen? When the Jewish people were in such a lowly spiritual state. So what's the Havana? So the Chasam Sofer writes that that's taka the biggest miracle of Purim. That even when Jews are in such a state, it's Banim Atam L'Hashem Elokeichem, and that's when Hashem prepared the whole Nes Purim. Says that's why the first chapter is so important. That the relationship is an unconditional relationship. That's what the Chasam Sofer writes. A tired of art. Apichsidis, it goes much deeper. Svasema says this. Twice in the whole Megillah does it say the word Hanimtsayim. Twice in the whole Megillah. Once is right in the beginning. And then after 100, b'malayis meyo shmoinim yoyim, asa hamelech l'chol ha'am hanimtsayim b'shushan. At the end of 180 days that he made a feast for all of his ministers and the entire palace, the royal servants, he made a 7-day feast. The whole nation that exists in Shushan. And that's where he really let everybody have whatever they want, all the decorations, all the drinks in the world. One more time it says the word Hanimtsayim. Leich Knois, Esther told Mordechai, Leich Knois is Kola Yehudim, Hanimtsoyim B'Shushan. Hanimtsoyim B'Shushan. Why are these two Hanimtsoyim? So the Sfasema says, this was all a tshuva for what happened at the Mishta. It was the Chilul Hashem. So Leich Knois is Kola Yehudim, and instead of eating, what happens? They fasted. In this tshuva, it was doinus nasa lekezachis. The sin becomes the mitzvah. It says matzasi David. The second you have an mitzayim also parshas vayera. Go take your two daughters hanimtzayus beir. So the Medrash says matzasi David avdi b'shem and kachim meshachta. From that daughter came Moyav, came Rus. It's also matzasi. When you find something a mitzvah, it's unexpected. So the pshat is azay. Once there was a mitzvah, so it's doinus nasa lekezachis. So when did the mitzvah happen? What's doinus nasa lekezachis? Not that your sin is removed, it's transformed. Transformed means it's the best thing you ever did. Why is it the best thing you ever did? Because it's considered a mitzvah. You don't regret it. How could you not regret a terrible mistake you did? So the pshat is, this is explained in Tanya, that the mistake, the crippling, debilitating effects crushed your ego and opened you up to such profound truth and growth that you could have never reached this growth without those terrible mistakes. So suddenly the mistake itself is the springboard and the catalyst for all of your maturity and truth and authenticity. The fuel behind all of your depth is your craziness, your insanity. So the insanity itself becomes a mitzvah. You don't have to try this at home l'chatchila. But if I go through this dysfunctionality, it's not that I come out on the other side like it never happened. No, don't say it never happened. It happened. And because it happened, I became the person I became. That's Pshat's Doinus Nasa Lekezachias. It all happened. It brought the Jewish people to a different state of consciousness. Once that happened, now the party, the original party, was the best thing they ever did. So how do you celebrate Purim? With a party. It's the Mishtav HaShvedish. But it goes one step deeper. Okay? When did Hashem create the miracle of Purim? At that party. What were they doing at that party? Chilul Hashem. But that's only from the perspective of time. But when you have the perspective of Zdoinus Nasolai Kezachias, so when Hashem was looking at that moment, what was he seeing? He wasn't seeing the disintegration of the Jewish people. He was seeing the ultimate rebuilding of the Jewish people. So of course he created the miracle of Purim then. In other words, if Zdoinus Nasolai Kezachias, so if you could experience right now the future, what you see in the downfall is not a downfall. What you see in the downfall is the genesis of transformation. It's a trampoline, yeah. So that's why, that's when he orchestrated the miracle of Purim. It just had to play itself out. Why is this so important? Because it's true in every person's life. Person goes through stuff. When I'm going through the stuff, it may be terribly, terribly difficult and challenging. But the whole kavana of it is v'napechu, to transform it. But when I'm in the darkness, I can't experience a transformation, I experience the darkness. But the way the infinity experiences the darkness is, it's the beginning of transformation. So it's not really dark. It's just the beginning of light. But in order for me to be able to come to that place, I have to experience the darkness. Because if I bypass it, I'm not going to be transforming it, I'm just going to be running away from it. And I have to be able to feel the pain of the darkness in order to grow from it. If I don't feel the pain of the darkness, I'm not growing from it. I'm bypassing it. So there's really a paradox happening. On one level, it's sin. And on another level, right now, it's a mitzvah. Which one is it? We're going to see. When you do tshuva, this is the real vart. When you do... I don't want to get too carried away here, but the big question of life, if God knows everything, and God does everything, and Einoid Movadai, right? How am I sinning? And how is the Bechira? Yeah. So in Arba Meir Shekel Kesef, it's a Sefer of the Arizal, he says both are true. Both are true. In physics, the concept of parallel universes. It's parallel universes. On one universe, there's Bechira. I'm doing everything. On another universe, God is doing everything. Huh? I know. Not only it's not proven, the idea of parallel universes was a way of trying to hold on to atheism with the brilliance of the universe. So I'm just mentioning the idea. Because even atheists don't argue with parallel universe, because the only way they can explain how we have mazel, yeah? That one followed by 60 zeros were the chances that the universe should emerge from the Big Bang, and it did with a planet. So in order to explain it, we have parallel universes that number in the beyond numbers that we can imagine. And all those universes are all completely meshuga, complete chaos. We're the crazy lucky ones, you know, from like 20 billion trillion sextillion cards. We're like the one card, you know, that made it. So the theory of parallel universe is just a desperate attempt to still hold on to atheism after the fine-tuning of the universe, the six constants and many other constants. Okay, but my nekuda is, I told you, somebody came to me and he said, why aren't you an atheist? If you know, I mean, you read a little science, you should become an atheist. So I told him, he's telling me he's an atheist. He comes from a Hasidic family, because he became a very big atheist at 16 from 3 YouTube videos. He became an atheist and now he's already a convinced atheist. So I told him, I don't have enough emunah like you to be an atheist. You need so much emunah to be an atheist. So much insanity had to happen. Not in seconds, in milliseconds. And not one thing that was crazy. In almost infinite crazy things had to happen to believe that. I don't have such a Buddha. What should I tell you? I told him, I don't, what should I do? I'm a skeptic. I'm cynical. I question things and I say, whoa, 1 second. No normal person in any other scenario, if God wasn't involved, would attribute this to chance. Nobody here. All the seichel gets buried. So please. He wasn't very impressed with my answer. But it doesn't take, it's true. Especially today. 1,000 years ago, they didn't know what a cell is. Today, not to know that there's this consciousness behind the universe, it takes a lot of blind faith, a lot of blind faith. And you don't have to study the whole cosmos. It's enough if you study one atom, if you study one cell, it's also enough. You could study one blade of grass and it's enough. You could study one fruit and it's enough. You don't have to study a lot. I'll cope on him. How did I get into this? All I know is when I talk about this, you have Tchiyas HaMeisim. I mentioned parallel universe, you wake up, and that's it. Very important. So it's both true, this parallel. So you say, how can a sin become a mitzvah? The pshat is like this. Okay, now this is deep stuff. There's two parallel realities happening the whole time. There's one dimension of reality that Hashem is creating every single moment. And everything is God's will. There's another parallel reality in which I'm choosing to do what I'm doing. And I can choose something that's very, very destructive. Do these two paths ever meet? That's what tshuva is. Tshuva doesn't create something new. Tshuva means that the two parallel universes converge. They're like going like this. Like, you know, two paths diverged in a forest. They're going like this. And then they move away as a little bit. So in the beginning, there's no big difference, right? But after a few days, right, you see, look, we're just starting like this. You're going a little right. I'm going just a little. But after a few days, what happens? This is what happens with couples. You understand? This is what it's about. You come into a house, you're supposed to, everybody's different, but you're supposed to go on the same azoy. And every night you meet up to make sure that you're still on the same line. That's why you have to talk at night or by day, whatever it is, or during lunch. But once in a few hours, you have to connect. If not, the husband starts going a little bit, just a little bit like this, and the wife is going like this. It starts off small stuff. Eh, loif to mincha, she's running to a shir. Eh, loif to maitiv, she's running to this. Eh, loif this, she's running to this. Whatever it is, ruchnis, gashmis. And then, after like 6 months, one is in Japan, and the other one is in South Africa. Azai. Completely different. So the parallel universes, yeah. So, the avoid of a tzaddik, the avoid of Torah mitzvahs is the two universes work together. My life is aligned with the Ratzon Hashem. What's sin? It's called aveda. What does aveda mean? Aveda means you move away, you pass over. In other words, I start drifting away from that alignment. I'm not aligned anymore with my source. Machtzis HaShekel, the Maggid says, Aseilech HaShtei Chatzoytzris Kesef. Chatzoytzris is Chatzoy Tzura. Aseilech HaShtei Chatzoy Tzurais. Two half forms. One is Hashem, the other one is you, and the two come together. That's what a marriage is. Machtzis HaShekel. So we walk together, and every few hours you have to say, you're in, it's called checking in. You know what checking in means? It's not checking in physically, it's checking in emotionally. Say, I'm upset at you. I'm not upset at you. I trust you. I don't trust you. That's what it is. There's an element of alignment. We start, all Aveda means I start drifting away. I lose that connection. So we shift, we go away. What's tshuva? Tshuva is realignment, bringing it back together. What happens when I bring it back together? Something unbelievable. If it's real tshuva from love, from a relationship, what happens? Retroactively, I move my universe into your universe. So retroactively, what I did 3 years ago, what was it? It was Ratzon Hashem, so it was a mitzvah. As long as I didn't do tshuva, it's an aveda. When I do tshuva, it's not a mitzvah now. Retroactively, my universe merges back into your universe where everything was the will of God. It was destructive. That's true, it was destructive. In this universe where I chose, it was very destructive. So Zdainis Nasalei Kezachius means you go back into that place where retroactively it's redefined. Not now you're doing good. What happened then was a mitzvah. And that's called v'napichu. That's transformation. Transformation doesn't mean you're a good guy now. It's true you're a good guy. It means that everything negative that you did, even if it was b'mezid, becomes your greatest strength. How can it be your greatest strength? It's called a mitzvah. How can you do that? That's heresy. The answer is because there's a level of depth and sensitivity and truth, authenticity and vulnerability that you only can have because of that break, that moral disintegration. That's the fact. There's a certain, when negative energy is transformed into positive energy, it has an unparalleled intensity. There's something that you bring to the table. There's a vulnerability, a bittul, a humility that only someone who faced adversity head on and saw and experienced pain viscerally, their relationships have an intensity and a maturity, hitbagrut, they have a maturity and an intensity that is unparalleled. The darkness itself created a different type of person. And you see it every day. You see it every day. People who had the courage to look at their darkness in the face and not be afraid, their authenticity is of a different nature. They change people. Just one conversation changes people forever. Because there's an emes dikait. You can't argue with it. You can't argue with it. It's like we spoke about chaya versus neshama. It's not intellect anymore. I see it. They're not convincing anybody. They radiate it. They radiate it because they went to the lowest places and they brought it up. So b'meila, the mishteh became the mitzvah. Hanimtzayim, hanimtzayim. If the mishteh became the mitzvah, of course God created the miracle then. They weren't making a chilul Hashem, they were making a kiddush Hashem. That's the chiddush of Purim. That's the chiddush of Purim l'gabi Yom Kippur. So the b'meila, that's the v'napaychu that you see even in Nigla, the maila of Purim. That's why it came out in a way that everything was transformed. It's not that Haman was obliterated or Achashverosh was obliterated. It's a pesha asar, who a pesha hiter.
We have to stop tshuva. What about her passing away?
She didn't have to do tshuva. She didn't have to do it. She was brought to the palace after. Okay, we're going to take a break here. Bezer Hashem will continue Thursday mornings. 7:45 should be fine, yeah? They'll be finished davening? They'll be finished davening? So Shchaydash. You could tell your wives or girls, my wife is giving a Tanya class today, 9:45 on Linkrist, 49 Linkrist. And tomorrow we have a woman's share, 9:30 a.m. Everybody have a wonderful day. It's not long. 9:45 today, yeah. 20 minutes.
This class is brought to you by the yeshiva.net. Please help us continue the classes. Make even a small contribution at www.theyeshiva.net/donate.